morning to Jeremiah chapter 33. I think that's everything I had to mention. We've got a business we need to take care of. We'll do that Wednesday after next. A few things along those lines. I've got a missionary coming that Wednesday night, but we'll just have to do all of it and get in there and take care of our business. Brother, I don't know how to say his name, Brother G.S., he's from India. He was at Willow Valley last Wednesday night, and I don't think any of the preachers went up and invited him to come. That's why missionaries go around, but I got to talking to him. He's a blessing, and I'm looking forward to him. He's a missionary. God saved him. He's from the country of India, and just from what I was talking to him and reading about, the Lord is just doing a great work over there, and I'm looking forward to having him. That's Wednesday night after next. But Jeremiah chapter number 33, you pray real hard today. I've had a good week in the Lord. I thank God for that. I've had something this week I've never experienced before, and you may not even understand really how it works. You know, when I was growing up, I just thought the preacher just stood up and God just gave him the message right there on the spot. I didn't know he had to study or pray about it, or, you know, I just sort of thought he's like a prophet in the Old Testament. I just never thought about it before, but I have to study and dig, and God shows me and gives me messages. And usually, though, one at a time, I'll think about two at a time sometimes, but honest, this week the Lord gave me 8 or 9 different messages. And I thought, Lord, and I had to start writing stuff down. Usually it's not so much that I can't think of it in my mind, but different things that, and I don't know, I'm sure I'll preach some of them this week, but you just pray real hard. And this morning, I know what the Lord wants me to preach on, but I hope the Lord will give it to you the way the Lord's given it unto me. But I'll say this, out of all those messages the Lord laid on my heart, none of them was for mothers, specifically on Mother's Day. So one lady I preached when I was in Idaho and pastored out there, I told the ladies that, I said, the Lord didn't give me a message for mothers today. And after church, she said, praise the Lord, we had the Sunday off. And so there's more than one way to looking at it. She said, usually that just makes me feel guilty. But the Lord didn't lay anything on my heart along those lines. I've been praying about it all week. But what the Lord has laid on my heart, I'm going to give to you this morning. You pray real hard that the Lord would speak to our hearts today. I believe that He wants to. I'm more nervous this morning than I've been in a long time. And so you just pray that God would just speak to our hearts. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verses 1 through 3. We'll read there and go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you one more time for the privilege of prayer. And God, as we come today, I'm asking, Lord, you'd show us some of those great and mighty things which we know not of. Lord, I'm praying today that you'd help me to preach exactly what you'd have me to. Nothing that you wouldn't have me to. I'm asking God that you would speak to our hearts today, our souls. Lord, that we wouldn't just come in and go out and just go through the motions, but it's my prayer that, Lord, you would speak to us today through thy word. Help us. Lord, help us to be a light on the hill. Help us to be a soul winning station. Help us to be a hospital for the sin sick. Lord, help us to be a place where revival can come and speak to our hearts and help us as only you can. Have your way today. Speak to each and every heart. And I'll thank you and praise you in advance. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. And I think I'll preach this tonight, Lord willing, unless he changes my mind. But you pray real hard that the Lord would have His way today. I want to tell you, first of all, how the Lord began to impress this message upon my heart. It's been probably 2 months ago now that I don't even remember exactly where the first instance was, but maybe I walked by and looked at the clock, and it was 3:33. And when I seen that 3:33, I thought to myself, reminded me of Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And it probably started about 2 months ago. It seemed like every time I'd look at the clock, be 3:33. Every time I'd get in the car to go somewhere, it'd be 3:33. Every time I'd listen to a CD, and you know it's got a little time counter or whatever it is, it'd be 3:33. Cook something in the microwave, and I'd look at it, be 3:30. And I began to notice so much that I even told Kim, and I told the children, you know, we got in the truck one day, I said, look, it's 3:33. That's Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. And I've known this verse of scripture for years and years, probably as long as I've preached, and even before that, over 20 years now. And it's a good verse. I mean, you could memorize it just this morning, just in hearing me preach. It's so easy, comes easy to my mind. Call unto me and I will answer thee, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And as I begin to notice that, I begin to think to myself, you know, that's the Lord getting me to want me to pray more. And sure, all of us this morning would say we need to pray more, and that is what that verse is talking about there. But it began to come to my mind that maybe the Lord wanted me to study that out. But it's so simple, I've never studied it out. I've never preached from it before, although I've referred to it many, many times. But you know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this past week, I got out my Bible one morning, I think it was Monday morning, and I began to read this over again and study it out like I've never studied it out before. And the Lord began to show me some things about Jeremiah and the subject of prayer. And I want to preach this morning on the subject of the mighty things of prayer. The mighty things of prayer. Some things the Lord showed me, and I pray He'll show you this morning. First of all, I want to lay just a little bit of foundation before I get into the body of the message this morning. Anytime you're studying in the Bible, you need to notice some things. What I'm going to point out to you this morning, you need to take note of who is speaking. If we'll take note of these things, you'll never misinterpret the Word of God. Always pay attention to who's doing the talking. And the Bible says here in verses 1 and 2, it says over there, it says, moreover, the Word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The one that's talking here is the Lord. Verse number 2, it said, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof. This is God who is speaking. Remember that and keep that in mind this morning. You always want to pay attention to who is speaking. And second of all, you want to pay attention to whom is being spoken to. The Bible says here in verse number 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. And so God is speaking to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is His prophet. And so He's talking to the man of God here, and He's speaking to him, and He gives him this great message in verse number 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You also want to pay attention to where it's taking place. The Bible said here in verse number 1, it said, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. When God spoke to Jeremiah here in chapter number 33, Jeremiah was in prison. Listen this morning, Jeremiah was in a place of limitation. The Bible said there that he was shut up. That means that he was enclosed. You know what? Sometimes God has to shut us up before we will really listen to what He's got to say. He's got to get us in an enclosed space. That's what that word shut up means. They're not like you hear somebody being rude and telling somebody, but he was closed up. He was locked up in prison. He was in a place of limitation. He was boxed in. His ability had been limited. His mobility had been taken away. He was bound up. He was what we might say in a tight spot. He couldn't get out of this situation by himself. And sometimes God puts us in a place, boy, we just can't get out of. And when he does that to us, he gets our attention, doesn't he? Gets us to the place where we can listen to what he's got to say. And you may think this morning that in our country and all of this tragedy, I mean, these are perilous times that we're living in, and the economy going down, and our country has insurmountable problems today. I mean, the economy and financially and storms and people losing their homes and floods and tornadoes and terrorism, and I mean on and on and on. You could go this morning, you might think today that all of this stuff is of the devil. But you know what? It could be this morning that it is from the merciful hand of God, that he would send this trouble into our presence in this day and time in which we live. I've said for a long time now, and I've said it, and somebody even came, the last time I said it, somebody came to me and they said, "Preacher, I got a blessing out of that. I've never looked at it like that before." But I've said for a long time that if I was the devil, I'd keep the economy just as strong as it's ever been. If I was the devil this morning, I would keep credit real easy to get. I'd keep gas real cheap. I'd keep plenty of jobs out here for everybody to have. I'd keep plenty of things in the stores for people to buy. I'd make it where vacations were just real cheap and people could be gone and buy things and have things that otherwise they wouldn't be able to have. I'd keep things just as good economically as I could if I was the devil. But I think on the other hand, if I was a loving, merciful God, I you know why I say that this morning? Because when things are good, we act like we don't need God. When things are real good in our midst, we live like we don't need God. We act like we don't seek the face of God when things are real, real good, but we seek the things of God when the bottom falls out. And when problems come and trouble come and all of these things. And so I say that this morning. I look about Jeremiah here and I think to myself that Jeremiah probably got down there in prison and maybe said to himself, "Oh God, where are you at in all of this stuff?" And I believe God came and spoke to him and said, "I'm right here. Call unto me. And I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Now that's good enough right there by itself. But and that's helped me plenty of times down through my ministry. I've mentioned that. I mean, you can't preach on prayer without talking about Jeremiah 33 and 3. But I got to studying that out and the Lord showed me some things I've never seen before. I want to show you this morning, first of all, that verse number 3 there, "That call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." What that is actually, that is a word picture. Now we use word pictures all the time. We use words that will automatically bring a picture to your mind. What I mean by that, somebody was talking the other night and a preacher was preaching. I heard him, and when he was preaching, he said this. He said, "That doesn't ring a bell." Well, you know what? That automatically brings a picture to your mind, doesn't it? That's a word picture. When somebody asks us something and we can't remember or we're not familiar with it, we'll say to ourselves, "Well, that doesn't ring a bell to me." That's a word picture. We use stuff like that all the time. Heard somebody else the other day. I mean, I've just been noticing in the past few days, you hear people say things. Somebody will say about a daughter of her mother. They'll say, "Well, the apple doesn't far fall from the tree." That's a word picture. You know what I'm talking about. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That doesn't have anything to do with mother being like a daughter or daughter or mother. But you know what I'm talking about. We say this all the time. We say, well, you think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You know what I'm talking about this morning. We use stuff like that all the time. As I began to study about that this morning, or the other day, the Lord showed me that although I don't see this on the surface, Jeremiah would have seen the word picture from the Lord. And I want to call two words to your attention. First of all, it's that word call in verse number 3. That word call means this. It is through the idea of accosting a person met. To call out to address by name. If I was down in Hickory and maybe me and my family were going shopping down there or something, and I seen Brother Bradley in Costco or Sam's or somewhere like that, and he didn't know I was down there, and I seen him and he didn't see me, I'd say, "Hey, Brother Bradley!" I'd call out to him by name, to call out to a person that you meet. Now you remember, though, it's God that's speaking here. That word call out to, hey, you know what? There's a lot of people out here, they're praying, but they don't even know who they're praying to. It means to call out to a person that you meet, and not to call out to a stranger, but to call out by name. And the Bible says, call unto me, I'm glad I know who that's talking about. Calling out unto the Lord. God told Jeremiah, he said, call unto me. I'll answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. The other thing I seen there is that word mighty. I'd never studied that out before, but that word mighty, it means this. It is referring to the gathering of grapes. And it means to clip off. When they gather in the grapes, that's what they'll do. That's why you get grapes in bunches and not individually. They don't go through and pick out them grapes one by one by one. They clip them off up next to the vine. And that's why when you go to the grocery store, you get a bunch of grapes. They're all on the thing together. They're all on the stem together because they've been clipped off. But that word goes on and it means this. It means to be isolated. It means to be inaccessible by height. It's too high for me. Or by fortification, which means I can't get through there. I can't get into there. It's beyond my reach. It's too high for my reach. And so God told to Jeremiah there, he said, if you'll call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And the picture is of a man in a vineyard, and he calls out to his friend that comes by and he says, hey, could you come over and help me just a minute? You're taller than I am and I can't reach that up there, but I believe you're tall enough. I believe you're strong enough. I believe you could get what I can't get by myself. You see the picture there is one who is weak getting help from one who is strong. And Jeremiah, when he heard the word of God come to him and say, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah understood. Boy, how weak he was. He was in prison. He was enclosed. He was bound up. He couldn't get out by himself. There wasn't anything he could do about it. I want to tell you this morning, we are weak as human beings. We're just limited in what we can do. We're too short. There's some things we can't reach. There's some things that are fortified and we can't get in there to get to them. And we might say to ourselves, where's God? Tell you where God is this morning. God's right where He's always been. God says, call unto me and I will answer thee. And I'll show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. I thought about it like that this morning. I thought about my little girl coming into the living room, and every morning it's the same thing. One of the first things she says is, Daddy, or she calls me Dad. Dad, you get me something to drink? See, she can't do it by herself. It's too high. She can't open the refrigerator. She can't get the cup out and put the lid on and all that stuff. And she come in there this morning. She said, Dad, I knew what she's going to ask for. She said, you get me some milk? Boy, I got up right out of my chair. I said, sure I will. Well, I'm glad I know where God is this morning. I'm glad there's a God. You know, you and I are just like a little child. We can't do nothing in and of ourselves. We are so helpless. We are so limited in our ability to do any good thing whatsoever. There's nothing we can't do without God. Jesus said in John 15, except ye abide in me, without me ye can do nothing. That's how we are this morning. I'm just going to give you four things about the mighty things of prayer. And I'm not going to do you like I heard a preacher this week. He said, when he started preaching, he said, I'm going to give you three things. And when he gave three things, well, I thought he was done. Then he gives four things. He gives five things. And I lost count how many things. And I know him pretty good. Where'd you go to school? Three things, but I'm going to give you four things this morning. Some of them I don't even have any notes for. I just got it wrote down. But let me tell you, here's what God gave to me. The mighty things of prayer. Where's God, preacher? God's where He's always been. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. First of all, there's the mighty things of prayer I want to preach about this morning. There's the mighty things of prayer. Keep your place there. Look in Romans chapter number 8. You know, I love to read after, I've said before, I love to read after dead people because they don't change. And there's a writer I love to read after about prayer. His name's E.M. Bounds. I can't remember what, it's something like Elliot McKendry Bounds or something like that, but he's dead and gone a long time ago, but E.M. Bounds, I've got in the margin of my Bible over in Ephesians, I believe it is, a little saying that he wrote that I got out of one of his books. He said, the soul that does not pray is dead. God's people are praying people. If you don't pray, if you can't pray, you don't ever think about prayer, you don't ever feel the stirring of the Holy Ghost of God in your prayer life, I believe I'd check up this morning. The soul that does not pray is dead. God's people are a praying people. Prayer simply means, it means to ask. That's what the word pray means. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. There is no telling today how many times throughout the week that all of us pray. And you don't even maybe don't even realize you're praying, but you're praying. Anytime you're asking God, anytime you're acknowledging God, you're praying. You may not even realize that you get out of the bed one morning and you don't even feel like putting your face on or clothes on. You say, boy, I'd like to get back in that bed and not even get out of it today. But you know you got to go and you get up and you say, Lord, help me. You pray. Lord, help me. You get down driving somewhere around Charlotte, and I mean all that, or Boone, North Carolina, and I mean all them college students is flying around and think they're going to get somewhere on these little two-lane roads, and they're cutting you off and pull out in front of you and pass you on the double yellow line and all that stuff, and you say to yourself, Lord, help me. It's dangerous anytime you even get in a vehicle to go anywhere. I meet people all the time. They're talking on the phone. They're driving along. They've got their phone up there and they're texting somebody. And I say to myself, Lord, help us. You get up this morning to eat your breakfast and you say, thank you, Lord. You go outside and it's a beautiful day and you say, thank you, Lord. All of that's prayer. You sit down at your meal and pray. You pray before you go to bed. We come to church, we pray. We go to the prayer rooms and pray. And God's people are praying people. But the kind of prayer I'm talking about this morning is not the now lay me down to sleep. Bill Cosby said one time about that prayer, he goes, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, he said, what kind of a prayer is that to teach a young? And he said, I don't know how many times I couldn't go to sleep. What do you mean if I die before I wake? I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm not talking about sometimes people say, good bread, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about the majority of the times that we pray. What I'm talking about this morning, I'm talking about a kind of prayer that I would refer to as praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about praying words that I can't even come to in and of myself. I just can't go there anytime I want to. I'm talking about a kind of praying this morning that you're ushered into by the Holy Ghost of God. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 26 and verse number 27, the Bible says over there that Paul said, he said, likewise, the Spirit, that's capital S, that's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's the kind of prayer I'm talking about this morning. That's not the kind of praying you and I do all the time. Thank God it's the kind of praying that we can do every once in a while. I know, as I was studying about this, I couldn't help but think about Preacher Arndt. Most of you remember Preacher Arndt Greer. When he'd get up and preach, many times he'd say, now, I've had some experiences. You ever had some experiences? I mean, where you prayed and you knew it wasn't you praying, you knew you couldn't pray like that. You didn't even know. I'm talking about praying where the Bible says there with groanings which cannot be uttered. You say, preacher, what are you talking about this morning? I'm talking about praying in the Holy Ghost when you just skip all the formed words and all of that stuff, and the good Holy Ghost of God just comes by and grabs your soul and says, I want to usher you behind the veil for a little while. I want to pray through you. And it's not even words. It's not even, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about something that's real is what I'm talking about. You ever been riding down the road, and maybe it's just you. I'm not, and a lot of times we don't pray like that in church. I mean, every once in a while God will move. And man, I got to pray like that the other morning. It's hard to even talk about it because it's holy. You ever been riding down the road, and I mean, God just come in the car, and you just had to pull off the road and just worship and just praise Him, and just you couldn't say nothing but God. Maybe you was driving down the road, and man, you had a burden that's about to break you down, or you got in the house of God somewhere, and God started stirring in your heart and burdening you down. And I mean, you got around the altar, you pulled off the road, or you got in the bedroom somewhere, and all you could say was, God, God, you got to help us. That's the kind of praying I'm talking about this morning. God said there in His Word, He said, call unto Me and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hey, I can't reach in there every time I want to. I can't get in there every time. Hey, the Bible says that we're to come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I'm glad we can go to Him at any time, but I don't get in there every time I go to pray. But every once in a while He comes along and He ushers us in where we cannot go in and of our own self. And He makes prayer something that is out of and beyond ourselves. I wrote this in my Bible many, many years ago. E.M. Bounds said this. He said, it is out of date, almost a lost art. And the greatest benefactor this age could have is the man who will bring the preachers and the church back to prayer. He said, a praying pulpit will beget praying pews. We do need somebody who can get the saints to this business of praying. And He's not talking about just normal mean nothing, do nothing, pray. And he's talking about old time Holy Ghost getting a hold of God and praying. The old timers used to talk about praying through and praying until and all these things. You can call it what you want to, but I'm telling you this morning, it is real when God does that for you. When we were little boys, me and my brother, we'd spend a lot of time down at our grandparents, the Greers. And my grandmother, she used to love to bake. And every once in a while, especially around Christmas, she would bake cookies and cakes and all of this stuff. And she'd let us cut. I think about how patient she must have been. I'll tell you, we made a mess when we helped her. It never did bother her. I mean, we just get in there. She enjoyed that so much. I don't even know if people have. I'm sure some of you do. But, I mean, she had cake decorating tools. And the one I love the most, it looked like a great big old syringe. It's about that big around. It had a plunger in it. And you screwed different things on the end to make different types of designs on the cake. And she'd make up that homemade icing, and she'd get a spatula and she'd start cramming that thing full, and she'd screw the back of that on and she'd let us have it, and we'd press on the back of that thing and we'd push down and there'd come a little design out. You know what made that work? You know what? Pressure. When the Holy Ghost prays through you, there is a pressure that comes upon you and pushes a prayer out of you that you didn't even know was there. That's God. He's the one that does the pushing. He's the one that does the pressing. He's the one that makes you pray. I'm not talking about normal, everyday, or run-of-the-mill prayer. I'm talking about call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The mighty things of prayer does things. Mighty things of prayer puts laborers on the field. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That's the only prayer request you'll find to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it puts laborers on the field. Acts chapter number 13, the early church, they prayed and they laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas and they sent them out. And the Holy Ghost was with them. Holy Ghost prayer puts laborers on the field. Holy Ghost prayer does many, many things. It raises the sick. It restores the home. It revives the saint. It restrains the devil. Every real revival that there's ever been was started by prayer. I've been studying this thing out a long, long time. There's prayers called the Haystack Revival. It's some young people. And they was going home from church. They'd been having meeting. And it began to rain. And so they wouldn't get soaked. They got up under an old haystack. You know how they used to stack up hay in the fields to get out of the rain. And they got to praying and calling out to God there. And they said that revival started in that haystack with them young people. You young people, listen to me this morning. Don't you think God can't use you? Don't you think God couldn't start a revival through you? Every revival that's ever been started. Every revival that God's ever moved in and everything He's ever done, God does everything by prayer and He does nothing without it. Think about that this morning. Charles Finney, one of the greatest revivalists our country's ever seen. Everywhere he went, revival would break out. He went one time to do a tour in a factory. He was preaching a revival and they were going to show him around. And that man was so full of God. And when he got in that factory, the factory workers couldn't even work. They had to stop what they was doing. The manager finally come over and he said, would you preach to our people? We ain't going to get nothing done till you do. And he preached. Man, people started getting saved. Say, boy, preacher, that sounds great. Whatever happened to all that stuff, I'll tell you, anywhere that Mr. Finney went and preached, there were some old men of God. They'd go ahead of him. If he was going to go down and be in a certain city, they'd go in there 2 weeks before. And they'd rent them a room in a bed and breakfast or somewhere, and for 2 weeks, all they'd do is call out to God for the souls in that city. Somebody asked Mr. Spurgeon, they said,
Man, he preached to thousands over in England, and they come, they'd say, "Mr. Spurgeon, what's the secret to your ministry?" He said, "Let me take you downstairs. I'll show you in the furnace room." And he went down there, and while he's preaching, every time you get up to preach, there's people in the basement of that church, and they pray and pray. He said, "The secret to my ministry is my people pray for me." I'm talking about the mighty things of prayer. The mighty things of prayer. I'm not talking about just prayer as usual and going on. I'm talking about something that is too high for us and too far away from us. And unless God gets it and gives it to us, we just can't get it in and of ourselves. I want to talk to you not only about the mighty things of prayer, but I want to go on from right there and say just a little bit about the mighty things of revival. The Bible said in Psalms 85 and verse number 6, it says, "Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee?" You know what that is? That's a prayer. Wilt thou not revive us again? One of the most famous passages of Scripture in the Word of God concerning prayer, and I guess it's been preached on more than any other, is 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and I will heal their land." God told Jeremiah, "Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." That's a prayer right there. He's saying, "You need to pray, Jeremiah. You need to call. You need to call unto me." I was reading this morning Habakkuk chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. It says, "A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of the Lord at Shigionoth. O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known. In wrath remember mercy." Habakkuk said, "God, I don't know if we will, but I know you can." That's where I'm at today. I don't know if we will. I mean, in America, I'm thoroughly encouraged though. You can't even talk about revival or preach about revival. You're wasting your time until God begins to stir. Well, when God begins to stir, we'd better open our eyes and say, "Hey, the Lord's doing something." And I believe God's been doing something in the county. People have been being saved. Good revivals. People getting right with God. I went the other night. I seen something you don't see very often. I mean, right in the service, somebody getting up out of their chair, going back, grabbing somebody by the hand, going down to an old-fashioned altar, grabbed a preacher by the hand, went down there, prayed. I mean, it wasn't even invitation time. I'm talking about during the singing. Where's that gone to? Is God dead? Doesn't God do that? Doesn't God deal with hearts anymore like that? Sure He does, but boy, we are hard to listen. God can, will we? Hey, I went over the other night. Let me tell you about this. Brother Phil Arnold, he's preached before. He was preaching in revival. Went over to hear him. His youth choir got up and sang. There's 12 or 14 youngins, all of them under, I'd say, 14 years old. And they began to sing. They sang quite a few songs there, and they got to singing that song, "I've Been Blessed." And I don't know how many of you know it's got about 8 verses in it. But it just keeps on, "I've been blessed, I've been blessed. I got a mother and a father and a country and an arm that can raise and eyes that can see and legs that can walk and one of them little, I bet he's not 8 years old." I looked up there, man, he is singing, tears running down his face. People started shouting. I thought they're going to shout and scare them youngins to death. But the more they shouted, the more them youngins, man, every one of them is just like the Holy Spirit just come across. And they got to crying, raising their arms up. I'm talking 12 years old, praising God. Hey, if we won't, God will get somebody that will. Amen. Boy, I tell you, that's a blessing. I'm talking about the mighty things of revival. You can talk about revival and preach about revival, and I've preached about this thing and thought about this thing for a long, long time. And I've seen sparks. I've seen little signs. I know there's a couple of times over at Forest Grove. I mean, God wanted to give us revival in a way that was a mighty way that we had never seen before. But I tell you, revival scares people to death. I mean, when God really begins to move, I've seen that happen so many times down through the years. I mean, it gets real. It gets thick. The pressure of the Holy Ghost begins to move, and I mean, people, it scares them to death. I've seen that. I mean, just where it was so close, and people just, man, I'm not coming. No. Preacher will get up and say, I don't know. This has been so good, we might go on another week. That scares people to death. First thing they do, well, I can come this week, but man, my yard's getting high. I've got ball games next week, and I... And the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something. There's a lot of beautiful art, but the greatest artist is the Lord. You talk about somebody can paint a picture. But he's not going to paint a picture on a canvas that's not his. See what I'm saying this morning? And the Lord doesn't start things that he doesn't intend to finish. Say, preacher, why don't we have revival like they had in the old time days? Because God's waiting on a canvas that he can paint such a picture on, that he will get the glory and the honor and the praise for everything that is done and said. And he will be able to work and move until he's done. But I tell you, in this day and time, I believe it's hard for God to find who's the canvas preacher. It's us. It's us. He wants to paint a picture in your life. He's got to have who, what artist would begin a masterpiece on a piece of canvas that wasn't his? Be wasting his time, wouldn't he? The owner would come along and say, that's mine. But God's looking for some people he can paint a picture on, a beautiful picture. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. I'm talking about real revival. I want so much. I long. I'd love to see. I want to see before the Lord comes. I'd like to see God paint a picture. Because I've heard about it and heard about it for years and years and years. I've read about it. I've prayed about it. I believe we've got close a time or two, but I'm telling you, I'd love to see God do it one more time. Maybe he'll get us a place where we'll give him the canvas. I don't know. I don't know if we will, but I know God can. We cannot do it in and of ourselves, I'll tell you that. God said, call unto me. I'll show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. I want to move on this morning. There's the mighty things of prayer. There's the mighty things of revival. There's the mighty things of souls. I'm talking about people getting saved. God told Jeremiah, he said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He said, Jeremiah, I can reach some things you can't reach. Jeremiah, I can get some places you can't get. But you got to call unto me. I thank the Lord for every soul that's ever been saved. Sometimes it's so easy. I mean, you go and preach. And these little youngins, bless their heart. I mean, God gets to convicting and moving and saves them. And I praise the Lord for that. That is wonderful. What I'm talking about this morning, what about them? What about them like over in Matthew chapter number 17? Where that man that had a son that was a lunatic or had a devil. And he came to Jesus. And he said, I've got a son. He's got a devil. And I mean, that devil throws him into the fire. That devil tries to drown him. He said, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. The disciples had been able to cast out devils. They had done that. They had come rejoicing that even the devils were subject unto them. But they come up against a hard case they couldn't do anything with. And they had to get that boy to Jesus. I wonder this morning, I mean, thank God for everybody that gets saved. But they some out here, they've had more gospel. They've had more people praying for them. They've been witnessed to. They've been prayed over. They've been invited to church. They get on up in years, and instead of becoming softer, they become harder. What about them, preacher? I tell you, they got to come to Jesus. We got to get them to the mighty things. What about them that's laid up and down the road and people drives by in our community and says, what about them? They're mean. They'll never anything. I'd like to see a revival where some of them come down the aisle. God's able. God's able where we get some of them people saved. I'm talking about the mighty things of souls. What about them that we prayed over? What about the ones that's out here wasting their life in sin and going down the wrong road and getting involved with the devil? I tell you, young people, man, what a hard time. Every generation says that generation has it. It's hard on them. It's harder to be a young people. When I was growing up, my parents would have said it's harder for my children than it was for me. And I say it's harder for my children than it was for me. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of junk out here going on in the world. And it is harder on this generation. I was talking with somebody the other day, and I mean, these young people, they can get their hands on stuff that once upon a time an adult would have a hard time getting a hold of. They're trading pornography on their phones and iPads and all that bunch of junk. Do you know once upon a time in our nation, in order for a person to get a hold of something like that, they had to be of age, they had to go into a store and ask somebody for it. I mean, that you'd be needy to have to do that. I'm talking about that. That'd embarrass the life out of most people. You'd have to go to a big city. I mean, we're sheltered from all this stuff, but now all this filth and vile and stuff, it is so easy for our young people. Who's going to get them in? Call unto me, and I'll answer thee. I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What about the souls? What about you here this morning? You've never been saved by the grace of God. When are you going to get in? You say, preacher, when can I get in? The Bible says, behold, today's a day of salvation. It's always today in the Bible. I like that. God never says come back tomorrow. God says come today. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What about the mighty things of souls? And last of all this morning, what about the mighty things of all the rest of it? Look what he said. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Look what it says. Which thou knowest not. You know what God's saying right there? God's saying, if you call unto me, I've got things you ain't even thought about. I've got things that hadn't even come across your mind. That's what he said to Jeremiah, which thou knowest not. Last fall, we was picking apples off a tree, and you know, from the ground, you can only get so many. Dad said, let me go get the tractor. And he got me on the tractor and lifted me up in the branches of that tree. And I got up there and I said, man, there's more up here than I even knew. That's what God's saying. God's saying, if you'll come calling to me, I'll lift you up to a place. And there's stuff up there you didn't even know was up there. If you'd ask little old me, when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, what are you ever going to be, Wayne Grier? I said, I don't know. Probably not much. I'm just a nobody. I'm just who I am. When I look back over my life and what God's done for me, you know what? God's done a lot for me. He's done things for me that I didn't even know anything about. I never thought about growing up, having a good wife, having a home, having a God calling somebody like me to preach. There's just things I never seen. I never thought about. I never imagined God could do what he's done. Somebody like me, God wants to do something with you this morning. I show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You don't even know about. You don't even know about, but God's got it. I'm talking about the mighty things of prayer. Ephesians 3:20 says, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. That's a lot, ain't it? Exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or even think about. God can do it. God can do. God can do. God said, call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes